Застойте, как у вас дела? Хорошо? Cool. Clock started. 6 minutes. 6 days, 6 minutes. Whew. Nerves. All right. My two cousins actually came this morning. The morning of the night. Give them a hand. I was at my auntie's before visiting, and I said I had to go to church. And they asked, oh, can we come? Yeah, if you want. it's a blessing, eh? It's a blessing just to have them here. Let me just find my way. Yeah, so we're talking about wisdom for the young. And my part that I'm playing in this role is talking on wisdom through obedience. Okay? That's a heavy word, man. Obedience. Yeah. Swear on it. Okay. No, we don't have devil people in. No. Nerves again to me. Anyway, you know, I'm not the standard. I'm just the messenger, so don't shoot me. All right. So, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments, for they will be length of days and years of peace, or years of life and peace to you. And so, I didn't really have a lot planned, to be honest, all week. I knew the scripture well. I love Proverbs, actually. It's good for increasing knowledge. It's common sense, basically, when you read it. Yesterday I was driving to Pātea to pick up my older brother, and there's a guy on the side of the road, and I was in a rush, and I passed him, and then God said, turn around. And I was like, oh, come on, I'm in a rush. Pick this guy up anyway. A long story short is the guy he's involved with, the rebels, he's a Patch Rebels member, and he didn't know me for a bar of soap, and he broke down and shared his life story with me, and he said how grateful he was that I picked him up. And I feel that was a divine encounter through God. That was a divine appointment set up, and man, my heart just broke for him, understanding that. And we got talking about, well, I mentioned to him, you know, I believe in God, I'm a man of faith, and I just want to say to you that whatever you're going through, there's always hope at the end, and hold on. And by the time I got to Pātea, he said to me, can you drop me at my father's house? And he said, I haven't seen my father in 5 years. And man, that just knocked me straight off my feet. I was like, whoa. He got out of the car so empowered at the end. And that was a blessing for me to be able to be used by God, for God to interact with his son. And funnily enough, his father's a pastor. Whew. I was like, oh, that's a good story. And so we got talking, and he said, you know, when you look at the Ten Commandments, they're pretty straightforward. You don't go and sleep with, you know, your neighbor's wife, la-da-da, because there's consequences. And there's consequences in disobedience. And I've got a minute now, so I'm going to wrap it out. No. All right. Yeah, there's consequences in disobedience. But God, in the scripture, he also is a loving father, and he chastens those who he loves. He doesn't want you to despise his teachings, and it's out of love that he cares for you as a father. I don't really know what it's like to have a father, but I know that I have a heavenly father. And since he has come into my life, I obey him because I love him. Laughing in the corner there. see you guys. No. All right, yeah. And I love him. I love him, all right. So I do my best to be obedient to him. I'm still a man. I stuff up. Disobedience, get the kick back, and he's more like hugs, you know. No, that's his chastening. You learnt your lesson, son. No. And so talking to him, he said, that's common sense, because when you think about it, there's percussions from our actions. And he did things of the sort, and he said that it's basically like it says in here. So, for they will add length to your days and years of life and peace with you. If you do not go against the law that your father has given and whatnot, your father's given you a law for a reason. Your parents give you instructions for a reason, because they care about you, because they love you, and they want to protect you. And so as children of God and as children of our parents, the physical attribute, we are called to obey our parents, because you think about it in common sense that if you don't do half of the stuff that I've done, that the friend has done that I met, and that, you know, we've all done stupid things, and there's a consequence. And so when you think about that in light of that, obedience is the best way to live, because in obedience that it's less pain, less strife, and it lengthens your days. And so I've run out of time, and I'm going to pass the mic. Who's next?
Cool, we're just going to get straight to it. Got a few questions. Who can remember the first day you gave your heart to the Lord? Some lukewarm Christians in here, okay. Second question. How many of you have despised someone in your heart, meaning that you look at someone and you give them the look? The look. Yep. We're going to keep on going through those looks. But how many of you guys have despised someone so much that you have given someone the look? And how many have you been delivered from that spirit of anger? And how many of you are still struggling? And how are these questions relevant to my message tonight? These questions are vital in helping us to remember where we have been, what we have come through, and where we are today. When the Israelites were set free from captivity in Egypt, they had to pass through some gushing water, some waves like mountains, and the same water also swallowed their enemies. Manna fell from heaven, and the shoes that they wore actually grew with their feet. Through it all, the Israelites murmured as though the God that had set them free could not do any more. Did they remember what God had done with their enemies when they were pursued? Did they remember what God did for them when they were hungry? No. And because they forgot, a walk that should have only taken 2 or less weeks took them 40 years. I love the scene in The Lion King, where Simba, he's struggling to understand who he is until he meets this baboon called Rafiki. And Rafiki actually leads him down a path in the jungle and points down to the water, and he says, "Look down there." Upon looking at his reflection in the water, he says, "That isn't my father. That's just my reflection." And then Rafiki replies, "Look harder. He lives in you." And then he hears the voice of his father in the clouds, and his father says, "Simba, you have forgotten me." "No, father, you have forgotten who you are and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself. You are more than what you have become. You must go back and take your place in the circle of life." "But father, how can I? I'm not who I used to be." "Remember who you are. You are my son and the only true king." "Father, don't leave me." "Remember. Father, don't leave me." Obviously, by that dialogue, you can tell that the title of my message tonight is Remember Who You Are. You are my son. Tonight, I'll be speaking from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. And it says, up there is the New King James Version, but tonight I'll be reading from the NIV. "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." We spend more money on clothes and shoes just to look good, and we forget that the most important thing for us to do is to invest in the kingdom that resides in each and every one of us. Do we live just to eat ice cream all day, sit under the stars, and sing the song, "Hakuna Matata, it means no worries," and then die? When Simba ran away, the blood that flowed through his veins wasn't the blood that said outcast, wasn't the blood that said condemnation, wasn't the blood that said murderer. The blood that flowed through Simba's veins was the blood of the son of the king, was the blood of the kingdom. The blood speaks, and there is power in the blood. We can run away from so many things. We can run away from what God is calling us to do, from our calling. But there is power in the blood. And the blood that flows through our veins is the blood of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In a workplace, you wear the right clothing for your job. As important as it is to dress appropriately for our professions, it's the same principle applied for how we ought to clothe our inner man. Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning that when we are faced with challenges, the practical clothing to wear is not physical in nature, because what we wear on the outside does not have the power to bring breakthrough in our lives. It is what we wear on the inside that brings power and victory. Bible carries on to say in Ephesians 6 that we must put on the full armor of God. And this is not a physical putting on clothes, what I'm wearing right now, but it's about clothing our inner man. And in it, it says that we must gird ourselves with a belt of truth. We must put on the breastplate of righteousness. We must put on the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and in our hands, we must hold on to the sword of the Spirit. Everyone is looking for an identity and a place to belong. To know who we are and whose we are is the most important question for us to answer. People commit suicide because they have lost sight of who they are. People want a sex change because they've lost sight of who they are. People smoke drugs and they have parties every weekend and they do all that adulterous stuff, and that's just because they have lost sight of who they are. Even in church, we're not exempted from this kind of behavior. We can become people who are selfish, envious, jealous, judgmental, argumentative, because we also have lost sight of who we are. We are instructed in the Bible that above all else, everyone say above all else, guard your heart for everything. Everyone say for everything. You do flows from it. Our heart is the womb of conception. We allow things to enter our hearts through two avenues, our ear gates and our eye gates, through what we hear and what we see. Therefore, it is important for us to guard these gates. It is important for us to surround ourselves with the right people, to put ourselves in the right environment, to even monitor what we read and also monitor what we listen to. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The circumstances of life can easily rob us of our joy. But when we carry truth, like a mirror close to our hearts, we will see the truth of our position. The facts will say you have cancer, but the Bible says by his stripes we are healed. The facts will say that you don't have enough money in your bank account, but the truth says that God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The facts say your father has left you and never really cared about you, but the Bible says and the truth says that he is the father to the fatherless. It also says that he will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Remember who you are. When you write the truth on your heart, you will remember. When you bind it around your neck, you will remember. When you seek his kingdom first, not the best brand clothing, not the best paying job, not the best friends, not the best trends, then all these other things that we desire will be provided for us. Let's not be like the Israelites. Let's not forfeit the blessing of God that God has for us by staying lukewarm, by staying comfortable, by being afraid to walk in faith, by complaining about our position because he has positioned us high. For when we bring permanency to his word in our hearts, we will find favor in his sight. The Lord says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. When you discover your position, you will discover your purpose. And when you discover your purpose, the truth will set you free.
Okay, hello. So I'll be continuing on from Christine in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So the title for my section is Find Humility in the Starlight. So the first five says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. To trust God for me is to humble yourself. Today, many tend to have this understanding that you have to strive and you have to make it your goal to be in the spotlight, to get noticed and to be known. That what we end up is the sole dependence and the sole desire to be in that spotlight. It turns into the only thing we focus on. Then we forget what is right in front of us, what we already have, as we are blinded by its light. But then you have stars. You look at the stars up in the sky, and you can only see them more clearly when it is dark. They only shine ever more brighter in the night, where there is no man-made light. So you have to turn the spotlights off in your life in order to see more of the stars you already have in your life. All the giftings, all the blessings God has given. The second verse in my section says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. God is working in the background and we often make the mistake of not seeing it. His work is marvelous beyond measure, all because he loves us eternally. The more we acknowledge him and depend on him, the more we will see. The more we will see his glory and the countless blessings he has given. No longer blinded by the pursuit of recognition for ourselves, but rather in a bold pursuit for God. Why must we get all the credit when it is God who put us here? Many try so hard to be a superstar. They forget that they are already one. We are God's marvelous work. And our purpose lies not just by getting by, not just looking to your own needs,
but our purpose lies in helping each other and giving thanks for all that the Lord has done. We must trust in the Lord in the path He wants us to take, to realize that those countless stars are your final frontier, and we must make the effort to boldly go where no man has gone before. Shout out to Captain Kirk and his team. It is to discover the unknown in you, and you'll end up finding yourself on an adventure, and you will discover more of yourself than under the spotlight. So, in conclusion, we must come out of the spotlights where everyone sees you, but who don't end up really knowing you, and come to a place where you can humble yourself, where there is no spotlight, but there is a secret place of peace and trust, a place where God is with you, and where those who you would gladly call family, people who you trust, are with you. A place where I must become less and He becomes more. That is when you value humility. That is when you value trust. As Pastor Andrew shared this morning, put yourself in a position to grow your faith. Put yourself in a position to grow your trust. Position yourself under the stars, under the giftings and talents you have received. Faith isn't just something you do on a Sunday. Trust is something you do. Isn't something you do on a Sunday. Trust in Him always, every day, each step you take. Trust in what He has done for you. Spotlights turn on and off. Stars continue to shine. Spotlights are man's creation. Stars are God's creation. So which light are you putting yourself under today? I'm sorry, I'm dropping all my papers.
It's not that much. Hey guys, I'm Kerry Cooper. So, one of my favorite things to do is to talk to people and ask them what their story is. I just love doing that. And I love speaking to couples and saying, what's your love story? And I love hearing where people have been and the different people they've met and the lessons that they've learned. And I feel like that's what Proverbs is about. It's about one person sharing knowledge and even regrets and things that they wish they could do better and sharing that with someone that has yet to go through that. And yeah, I love Proverbs. Proverbs is so good. I remember Pastor Andrew saying this, but I also got taught from my mentor, Abby Kingy, that to read a proverb a day. Yeah, it's good. But my young adults, we're doing that at the moment. It's going real good. But I love Proverbs. It's like a father speaking to his son. It's like a mentor speaking to his mentee. It's like the teacher speaking to the student, the pastor speaking to their sheep. So good. It's a beautiful and it's a godly process, sharing something that you've learnt with somebody yet to go through that. And just remember that context as I speak. But man, everyone has done so well so far, and what I'm about to share just ties in so well with what you guys have said, but I'm just simplifying it since I only have 6 minutes. But my verses tonight are Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. My title for my 6 minute sermon is Save Yourself the Burn. And this is a good topic for parents because you will relate. This is the situation where you say your kid, don't you touch that because you're going to get hurt, and then they do it anyway and you're just like, But there's this thing that my mum does. I don't know if this is like a moldy mum and auntie kind of thing, but this is what she says. Anna, I told you not to do that. But I think my sister knows what I'm talking about. But yeah, that's a story that I have. And anyways, it was a really cold day and it was winter and I just finished school. And so I decided that I'd stand really close to the heater. And we had one of those gas heaters that are on the wall. I don't know if you guys remember those. Gareth has one at his house. And anyways, I was standing against it and Mum's like, don't get too close because you're going to get burnt. I was like, whatever, Mum. Like, how old was I? Like, 16 too. I really should be listening by then. And I thought, oh, no, I know better than my Mum. Like, Mum doesn't actually turn me out. I'm really cold. I'm going to stay here. Anyways, ended up falling onto it, and I got burnt, like, 3 marks down each calf. It was, oh, Lord. And, yeah, that was an un-that moment. But I feel like we do that with God a lot, like, probably more than you think. God's like, okay, I don't want you to do this or go into the situation, and you're like, yeah, whatever, like, I know what I'm doing. God, I don't know if you guys relate to this, don't go to that party, and you're like, whatever, God, I'll be all good, and then, end up getting wrecked or something. but we need to humble ourselves, like what Steve said. We need to humble ourselves and acknowledge that our wisdom isn't always the best and it isn't always right. And know that Abba Father's wisdom is always best. And so when we have this respect and trust for our Abba Father, we will trust and know that his voice that is leading us is always right, and we will actually be obedient and listen. And then that will save us from what my verse says. What does it say? Where is it? It will save us from... Oh, wait, hold on. My verse doesn't say that. But anyways, it will save you from getting wrecked. So we are to fear God, to revere God, to respect God and be in awe of God, and we'll stay safe from danger and from death. It's a father speaking to his son, saying, humble yourself and trust God, and then you won't get burnt. God speaks and directs us, and he does that through his word, through the Bible. He does that through people like your parents, learned that one, like through parents, through pastors, and he speaks to your spirit. And if we just open our ears, he who has an ear, let him hear. When we open our ears, and what Christine said, our ears and our eyes, and we actually listen to what God has to say, then we'll be so much better off and we'll save ourselves grief. So trust God and save yourself the burn. Then he will reward you with strength, nourishment, and health. Yeah, 46 seconds.
Hello. It's good. So I'm going to need a bit of grace from everyone tonight, if that's all right. This might be a little bit of a concrete pill to swallow, but I'll just trust that it blesses you as much as it has blessed me. So Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10 to finish it off. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. So, to illustrate this, I'm going to use Matthew 25, verse 14, which is the parable of the talents. So just bear with me here. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents did the same thing, but returned less because God entrusted him, or the master entrusted him with less. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. So when we talk about this proverb, honoring the Lord with our wealth, with the first fruits of our crops, it kind of pays to have a crop. So you'll notice the first 2 servants in this story used their ability and put the talents to work and were able to return to the master more than he gave them in the first place. However, the 3rd servant simply chose to ignore his ability and to hide the talent out in the field out of fear. What the master gave to him was still returned in full, but the master wasn't interested in this. His desire for the servants was for them to put their ability and talents to work to return to him more than was given to them in the first place. The master was pleased with the first 2 servants who both returned to him more than they were given. The amount that they returned didn't seem to matter. Truth is, many of us, and I'll own it up to this, have been like the 3rd servant, where at times we're actually unable to honour the Lord with the first fruit of our crops because our crop didn't exist. But this is where I really want to encourage you. There are 2 things that we all possess, whether you think you do or not: ability and our talents, which might be our unique gifting for the purpose of glorifying the Master. We all have these, no matter how small we may think our ability and our talents are. But that's not of concern to God. He is, however, concerned with how we use them. Think of all that we could contribute to the body of Christ if we grabbed a hold of this fact. The story is kind of talking about finances, but finances are only one of these things. It extends much further. This is what it means to honor the Lord with our wealth, that we are able to give them the first fruit of our crops because we have put our ability and our talents to work to return to our Master more than what he has given us to begin with. As the children of God and as the church, we are not made to live as victims. I believe sometimes the reason for our lack is because we have such a great capacity to convince ourselves that our current situation is somebody else's fault, and we forget to engage the process of putting our abilities and talents to work. But the person who has the most to do with what you can do is you. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. God has destined us to be the people who have. This is not vain ambition, because it is honestly difficult to be effective as Christians and as the body of Christ if we do not have. Not out of vain ambition to succeed, but because we want to honour our Father with what he's entrusted us with, because we know who he is. So let's be the people who are able to honour God with our wealth, with the first fruit of our crops. How much we are able to return to our Master is irrelevant, because he knows your ability. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. It's mean.
Let's give him another hand. That's fantastic. All you guys, that is great stuff. Really good. I just want to leave you with 1 question tonight, because there's so much that you've covered and so much that you've shared. One question just reverberating in my mind is to, within each section, And you're bringing it out and you're bringing it out and you're bringing it out. It's a simple question to ask yourself all week. Whatever situation you find yourself, what's the wise thing to do? What's the wise thing to do? Sometimes we're so worried about getting it right, wrong, We sometimes we need to reframe the question and ask, what's the wise thing to do right here? Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close in prayer. And just what we've heard, that it would be profitable in us. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, Lord God, we want to give you thanks. Lord, as we've heard your word and the richness of your word, Lord God. Lord, you've given it to us. What a precious gift. And I want to thank you, Lord, for each one of these speakers tonight as they've given of what you've placed within them. Lord, the richness that each one of us has within us. Lord, bless each one. Lord, and as we've heard your word, we pray, Lord, that it would be profitable within us, Lord God. Lord, that what we've heard tonight, Lord God, and in each of these sections, Lord God, we would take and we would work with and we would do. Lord, we would learn of you, learn from your word, and learn from your servants tonight. We thank you. Dismiss us with your blessing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week.